Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell begins a new series entitled Teachings from the Book of Acts. This message is entitled Part 1, The Apostle Paul. At the end of today's recording, I'll be telling you how you can obtain a copy of today's sermon. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, June 25th, 2006. And I'm going to be doing some teaching for the book of Acts. And today we can look upon the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, actually, he is the very beginning of his Christian life. So let's stand one more time and pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that you will open the Word of God to us today in such a marvelous way that, Lord, it will change us. Father God, we had a good week this week. We had a good relationship with you, but we're not satisfied. We want to get closer. Every week we want to get closer and closer and closer. We can't get enough of you, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit being here today and ministering mightily. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to make this announcement here on the preaching tape that the church, we are opening fire in Europe this week. We're opening a new front. We are getting our German website up, which will open up our ministry to Germany, Austria, and part of Switzerland. Approximately 100 million German-speaking people. That's going to be opened up this week. When I talked about this some time back, Brother Yuri came to me. Actually, he called me and said this. He wanted to work on a Russian website. He and his family, they have computers, they have the Russian alphabet. You got to have that. I think it's called Cyrillic. Is that correct? And so I believe that probably in a short while we will open up a Russian website. And then Brother Soteris came to me this last week and said that he would like to open up a Greek. And of course, he's born in Greece. So we have a Swedish, we have a Norwegian, and of course, we have an English. So it looks like God is putting together people of different nationalities to open up so the sermons preached here, the outlines, the newsletters will be translated into these different languages, which will give us a chance to reach them for Christ. So I'm excited about that. Now, how do we get Germany? Well, we got no Germans here, but because the sermons are laid out on the internet, every week about Wednesday, what I preach here is on the internet. They can be downloaded any place on this planet. And this German lady have been listening to us about 3 or 4 months, sermon after sermon. She got into the website, and then she wrote us and said, I want to do something about it. She's a professional translator, and she got all the equipment. Her husband is very good on computers, and together they have done some marvelous work. And this is a door that I could not open, but God opened. And I believe that we're going to have a good website in Russian that will reach the old Soviet Union with all the countries that speak Russian. And then we move from there. So God is working. Now today I want to talk about the Apostle Paul. And let's read from the outline here now, a personal history. The Apostle Paul's original name was Saul. Saul means asked, and Paul means little. Saul, after he got saved, decided that he did not want to have the name Saul, which is a kingly name, but he certainly wanted to be known as little. Christ was everything for him, and he himself, he was nothing. He was from the city of Tarsus in the province of Cilicia, which is now modern-day Turkey on the coast of the Mediterranean, see, just northwest of Lebanon. The birth of Saul is estimated around 2 A.D. At this time, the city of Tarsus was the capital of Cilicia and an important Roman city. For centuries, it had been a huge trading center, and it was to this city the prophet Jonah tried to flee around 800 B.C. Now, let's read Jonah here, the first three verses. Jonah lived about 800 years before Christ. And Tarsus at that time was a thriving city, a huge city. And we read, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. That was the capital of Assyria. Not Syria, but Assyria. City does not exist anymore. We just got the ruins. That great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish for the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it, to go unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. This is spelled here, Tarshish. Here it is spelled Tarsus, the same city, just two different spellings. I really want to lay a foundation here this morning so you understand who you are and why we are here and how God worked in Paul. Last week, in the city of Lincoln, just outside Lincoln, on one of the rural streets, or roads, there was two sisters that were going to go to the store midday. The one that was driving, she was 19 years old. And she had a little baby, 2 years old. He was strapped in the back seat. And she had her 15-year-old sister with her, sitting in the front seat. And they had just left the house, going down to the store. And for some reason, when they come from that connected street to a little larger street, there's a stop sign. And this woman did not stop, but she drove right out and was broadsided by another car that did not have time to stop. She was not on drugs. She was not drunk. The 15-year-old sister died instantly. The baby severely injured. And the mother was going in and out of consciousness. People around there came there before the paramedics and the ambulance came, and they took them out and laid them down. They tried to work with them and so on. And the young mother, as she was going in and out of consciousness, she said, my baby, my baby. And then she went in and out. And then in the ambulance, she died. The parents to these two girls were notified and rushed to the hospital in Roseville, and they realized that two of their girls had died, and the grandson was between life and death. Then they had to make the decision. They were told the boy would not live. Could his organs be donated to some other babies that were waiting for a transplant? She was pronounced dead, and they took his body parts and three people of the same family died just in an afternoon. Why? As I write this story, as it was related to in the paper, it became clear to me that this is not a Christian family. And this is a tragedy that we have across this nation around the world right now. The people are not saved. They don't think about tomorrow. They think about today, what they're going to do, buy the car, go grocery shopping, and buy some clothing, and you know, have a good time. And they never know when their time comes to go. And I thought about these people. The three people, I don't believe they were saved, ended up in hell. What about you and me? As I started out this morning, actually before we started recording this, I read from 1 Peter 5, 7, 8. God has reached out to us. That's a privilege. You understand that? It's a privilege to be saved. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He has called us for a work to do on this earth. And we need to understand that you and I have a destiny. Many people say, well, you know, I'm wasting my life. I could have done this and this and that. Praise God that you did not end up like these three people. Died in one afternoon like this. But we had a chance to receive Christ now. We might have messed up, but we can rebuild our lives. We can do something with it now. But most people, when they die, it's over. This is what we should look upon. What we can do, what God has given us. Turn to the book of Acts now as we get into the book of Acts. You want to move to chapter 21 as I move around a little bit in there. It's the book of Acts, the 21st chapter. I'm just going to read verse number 38. That's Acts 21, 38. Something wrong here with my outline. Let's turn to 22:3. You read here. This is Paul speaking now. Well, let's read from verse number 1. Men, brethren and fathers, hear you my defense which I may know now to you. But he heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent. And he says, I'm verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in a city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering to persons, both men and women, as also the high priest does bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I also have received letters from the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass, as I made my journey, was come nigh to Damascus about noon. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell into the ground, and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Back to the outline here now. We have no knowledge of Saul's mother, but we do know that his father was a Pharisee, was a conservative Jew from the tribe of Benjamin and a Roman citizen. As a result, Saul's a Roman citizen from birth, something who carried much clout at that time. I want you to think now as we look upon the Apostle Paul here. He was a contemporary with Jesus, about 2 years younger, born in what is today Turkey. He never met Jesus in person. But here now God selected to move outside Israel to a man of the tribe of Benjamin in another country, in a Roman city. And to make this man number one apostle I want you to think now with me. For 3 years, Jesus groomed the 12 apostles, the 70 others, and the women, 120 together. Judas fell on the side, 11 left. They got Matthias in. They gambled him in. We never heard about him again. But instead of making a choice of one of the apostles that had been with Jesus, walked with Jesus, God said, my chief apostle is going to be a man by the name of Saul. Y'all know who Saddam Hussein is. We don't like him. He was a terrible guy. He killed thousands of people, tortured. He even killed his own sons-in-laws, had them cut to pieces. He's a terrible man. Now, think of this now. What would you say if Saddam Hussein receives a revelation in a prison in Baghdad, repents of his sins, is filled with the Holy Spirit, miraculously set free, and becomes the leader of the Christian church in the world? What would you say? No way. Not Saddam Hussein. Saul was a chief persecutor. He was a murderer. He was cold. A tormentor. And God said, that's my man. Why? Because when Paul was Saul encountered Jesus, he recognized his total, absolute wickedness. And he never had any pride. He never had anything to boast about. He said, I'm a chief of the chief sinners. And God is looking for men and women who are humble and are willing to give God the glory and to let God work through them. He used to get apostles. They wrote a few things. But if you would take all the writings of Paul out of the New Testament, you would take the doctrine of the church out of the Bible. Where did Paul write? In prison. God had to slow him down. Put him in a clink. That's what he wrote to the prisons. Look at the outline now. As a young boy, Saul was educated in trade on making tents, which is a sought-after commodity in those days. As a teenager, he was sent to Jerusalem, where he enrolled in a rabbinic school of Gamaliel. And for some reason, I got problems here with my text, the references. But if you read in verse number 3, that his teacher was Gamaliel, which was the main rabbi at that particular time. Now turn to Galatians chapter 1. You stop on the way to Galatians, the first chapter. Saul would have been 2 years younger than Jesus. Even though they were contemporaries, Saul never met Jesus in person before his crucifixion. We base his understanding on the following statement by Saul himself. And you're reading it from Galatians 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not of the man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Wasting means killing it. Beyond measure, he persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now I'm going to share something out of my personal life at this time, because it's important. If anyone, when I was a young boy, would have said that I'm going to be a minister, that I was going to be in the United States and preach and write, they would have been scorned to the hilts. I want to give you two instances. When I started school, in those days we didn't have any kindergarten, we started at the age of 7. I had finished my first year, terrible grades. And when my mother came down, they had the closing ceremony of that first year. My teacher came up to my mother and said, "There's one thing I want to tell you, Mrs. Terrell. Your son will end up in prison." We had a well-known prison in Sweden at that time called Långholmen. It was like San Quentin here. And she said, "Your son will end up in San Quentin." I think my mother cried when she walked home with a little boy. I was terrible in school. I could not be controlled. I was demonized to the hilts. And I remember about 10 years later, as I was in high school, and I had a teacher in English, and I was failing. I mean, my English tests, they were F-. And this teacher said, he took me aside and said, "John," he said, "let me tell you something. Your mouth is not made for English. It's not made. Don't even try it." He said, "If you work hard and you write this stuff up," he said, "I give you a pass. But you will never speak the language. You will never understand it. You just don't have it." These were encouraging words. If someone had said at that time, "Well, he's going to be preaching in English." I do butcher the English. I mean, I'm not perfect. I make all kinds of mistakes. But at least you understand me. God is looking for men and women that are willing to submit and say, "Not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours." That's what God is looking for. As a teenager, it was God's grace. I was in a gang fight one time. My brother was with me, and I always carried, we didn't have any guns in those days, we had knives, had about a knife about that long, probably about 6 inches, 7 inches. And I remember I got in a fight with this gang, and I warned this guy, I said, "You know, don't lay hands on me." And they were more than us, and he began to fight, and I didn't think, I just took the knife and just ran it right into his chest. He just dropped to the ground. I pulled the knife off and we went home. If I would have killed that guy, I wouldn't be here today. But God was gracious, and the knife went between the heart and went in and did a little damage, but it didn't touch his heart. God's grace. God knew what he wanted to do with me. And that's why I cannot brag. I cannot say, "You know, I earned this." No, I haven't earned nothing. It's grace, grace, grace. 100% of God's mercy. Look at the outline now. We can draw the following conclusion. Saul must have heard of Jesus and his message. But you say that Jesus was not worthy of abandoning the practice of Judaism. Saul must have been in Jerusalem when Jesus was there. But Saul never went to his meetings. He never met the man. He didn't like the man. He hated Jesus. There's no record that Saul was married. But we do know that he had a sister in Jerusalem. That the son had Saul when he was in prison. In Acts 23:16, we read this. Acts chapter 23 and verse 16. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered the castle and told Paul. Let's look at the conversion of Paul now. The book of Acts, we start in chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues. Did he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Saul must have been appointed chief prosecutor disciple of Jesus, which gave him legal authority to not only arrest them, but to torment them and put some of them to death. I really want you to stay with me on this thinking there. Here's a man that was born outside Israel. When he had an opportunity to actually go to a meeting and hear Jesus speak, he simply refused to go. He wanted nothing to do with Jesus. After the day of Pentecost, when Christianity began to spread, he simply volunteered and said, I am going to stamp out Christianity. I'm going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. We kill them all. That's the man. That's his mindset. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he persecuted believers in Christ. But he must have run out of Christians to persecute in Jerusalem and was reaching out to the synagogues in other nations, beginning with Damascus, Syria. It was here that Jesus stopped him. Now if you read verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest you me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And the man that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. And when his eyes were open, he saw the man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. If you turn to chapter 22 of the book of Acts, we will have Paul himself give an account of this encounter. That's the book of Acts, chapter 22, verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest you me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? Notice now that Saul immediately recognized Jesus as Lord. He said, Arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told you of all things that are appointed for you to do. And there it shall be told you of all things which are appointed for you to do. God has plans for you and me. He has appointed ministries, people to meet, businesses to build, places to go. We have appointments. We call them divine appointments. And when they could not see for the glory of light being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. Let's go back now to chapter 9 and turn over your outline. Jesus gave Saul a personal revelation, but he's now going to use Ananias to minister to him. Remember this. God has given and ministered the gospel to man, not to angels. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, we read the following, verses 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which is he who heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, he asked them, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The gospel is going to be preached by men and women. The Holy Spirit is going to do some supernatural things. But the gospel has to be shared by us. That's how God set it up. Back to the book of Acts, now chapter 9. Ananias faced a personal crisis because Saul was known as a ruthless and deadly persecutor who showed no mercy to the Christians. In the flesh, Ananias didn't know of Saul's encounter with Jesus. It could have easily been a trap. And the discussion between Ananias and the Lord brings that out. The book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. Let me back up to verse 9. What did Saul do after he got into Damascus? He says, well, 3 days without sight, and neither to eat nor drink. These are 3 days where Saul was blind. He didn't eat. He didn't drink. His whole world had collapsed. His education meant nothing. His position as a prosecutor was gone. Everything he believed in and stood for had been eradicated. He was brought to zero. He was in a personal crisis. And God let him sit there for 3 days. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Ananias, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays. That's what you and I need to do. We need to pray and say, Father God, show me your way for my life. You don't need to sit in front of a television. It takes your time. It deadens your mind. It pollutes you. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that you might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. Ananias said, Lord, how do I know this guy's real? How do I know he's not an infiltrator to destroy us? But the Lord said to him, go your way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Here was a man now, Saul, about 33, 34 years old. His entire life had been flipped around. And he's sitting there now. And he knows a man by the name of Ananias is going to come. That's all he knows. Ananias' action shows us that he had faith in God and was in tune with the Holy Spirit. Let's go back again to the book of Hebrews. And I can't go back there enough to bring this out. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by the elders obtain a good report. For faith you understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Look at me right now. How big is your God? How big is your God? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Creator. How big is He? Most people put Him in a box. And this is when you know that God can only do this much. I'm too evil to be changed. I'm too sick to be made whole. You put God in a box. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm this. I'm that. Excuse after excuse after excuse. In reality, what we were saying is this: God, you are too small to handle me. That's the truth. And it takes faith. Won't you let God out of the box? Won't you let Him out of the box? And simply says, God, I'm going to believe that for you, nothing is impossible. Is anything too big for God? There's only one thing God cannot do. God can never fail. That's the only thing He can do. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying His gifts, and by being dead yet speaks. By faith Enoch was translated, he should not see death, and was found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You understand that? You got to simply say, God, this will be start. Forgive me for having limited you and dragged you down on my level. Come up to God instead of dragging God down. I'm walking in appointments. In 1996, I believe it was. I could be off a year here. For some reason, the magazine The Dove made its way up to the state of Michigan. And it was read there by a man called Walter Gross, who used to be the store manager of a Kmart store until he got sick and got all kind of problems, and he was retired. He was only about 40 years old. He had kidney problems too. And Walter Gross read a Dove and he wrote to me. And we began to correspond and we talked on the phone. And then he had a friend there, Norma Jean Tompkinson. And the two of them were having meetings and ministering in the Saginaw area, Michigan. And they asked me to come and speak in a conference. Well, we had a lot of difficulties to find out if I was going to go or not, but eventually I did go. And Walter did two things. He prophesied two things. The first thing he told me was this, you need a website. I said, Walter, I need a website as much as I need a hole in my head. I don't know anything about it. I'm loaded down with work already. He said, you need a website. I said, Walter, you do it then. He said, I will. That's how God got us on the internet. How much work did I put into that website to begin with? Very little. Then the second thing Walt did was he came over here. He had deliverance with him. And he prophesied and said that, he said, it's going to be a production center built. And I said, no way. And he got so upset that he never could get over that. Now, he's with the Lord, but he never could get over that I rejected his prophecy. And exactly what he prophesied, there is a production center today that was built impossible with no money, nothing to support it with, but there it is. When he died, the website was taken over by Lois. And then from Lois, it went to Charles. And today, the website is probably the largest part of our ministry to the entire world today. But God could not speak to me. He had to speak to somebody else. And I dragged my feet. You do not know what God wants to do with you. You have not the foggiest idea. But I can tell you this, there are appointments for you in the future. And you will get to this appointment if you simply say, Father God, not my will but yours, and stop knocking yourself. Let God loose and don't talk about that I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do that and I'm worthless. Stop and begin to say in the name of Jesus, I am a new creation in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't care what kind of obstacle you have. God got bulldozers that are so big and fast and furious, He can demolish any obstacle. You understand that? Faith. Let's go back now to Acts chapter 9. The book of Acts chapter 9. I'm going to skip that 22nd chapter here. In verse 17 there, and Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hand on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately, there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. The moment Ananias came in, he laid hands on him. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. God activated Saul at once to preach the gospel. Now we turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. There are times I drag my feet. Some time back, probably about a year ago, Charles told me this. He said, we should get into CDs with our sermons. I said, we don't have the money. This has been a curse. I've said, you always, we don't have the money. We need to get into that. Because people have CDs nowadays. I says, well, I like the cassettes. You know, they're easy to handle. We got everything set up. So Charles has been making CDs one by one for people and requesting them. I said, God moved Kenny West down in Visalia and told him to buy us a CD duplicator, which we now have,
and is in use.
Sometimes we drag our feet. I do. And God said, okay, if I can't speak to you, I'll speak to this guy here. We get you going. Now I'm excited every time I see that thing sitting in the production center. It pops out CDs. God will give us what He wants us to have. In Colossians 1, we pick it up from verse number 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, and all pleasing and fruitful in every good work and increasing knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience, the long-suffering joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. That's how big our God is. He's before all things, above all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. The key verse here is in verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. How long did Paul or Saul wait to preach the gospel? Let's find out. Book of Acts, chapter 9. Verse 19. And when he had received meat or food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain day for the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. It would be like you take a Satanist that has been cursing God all these years. And suddenly he's born again. He comes on television and begins to preach Jesus Christ. And people go, what? But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews. We dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. With great boldness and risking his own life, the former Jewish persecutor began preaching Christ to the Jewish people. The honeymoon was over Saul, and the Jews treated him as a traitor. He was persecuted, he was beheaded in Rome some 30 years later. In Acts 9:23, we read this. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But the laying of wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, led him down by the wall in the basket. Never again would Paul have peace. He had peace within, but not for the world. The apostles were afraid of Saul. Saul had caused so much devastation to the church of Jesus in Jerusalem that the apostles believed that Saul was using a new tactic to infiltrate the church and destroy from the inside. After all, Judas was still fresh in their memory. In Acts 9:26, we read this. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Why? Well, let's go back to Matthew 26. Matthew, the 26th chapter. And we read here about Judas. Matthew 26 and verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests. and said to them, what will you give me? And I will deliver it unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And for that time, he sought the opportunity to betray him. And if you read from verse number 47 in the same chapter, while he spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, a great multitude with swords and staves, for the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forth he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master. And he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, wherefore you come? Then came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. The apostles remember that. They remember Judas having been with him for 3 years. They remember how he betrayed him, he went up and kissed Jesus and betrayed him. Again, God used a man to vouch for the sincerity of salt and newfound faith and convinced the apostle that Saul was indeed born again. Verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, that he had spoken to him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with him coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spoke bold in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. There was no peace with Saul. He had to flee again. And this is going to be the story of his life unto his death. And we read in verse number 30. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. This is a story of a man who hated God, who hated Jesus, who was a chief enemy of the gospel, and of God supernaturally saved him, used his people to reach him, molded him, and made him into the Apostle Paul. And his writings, his teaching, is used worldwide. 1,900 years later, 1,900 years later, the writings of Paul, his teaching, is still used on this planet and will be used until Jesus comes back. Now, what about you? What about me? Today, I want you to take a look at yourself. We got people of all ages here, people in their 70s. 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s, 20s, and teenagers. We got children in nursery too. What about you? What about you? What are you going to do? The reason God cannot move in your life is because of unbelief. You got an image of yourself. And you put that image up and says, God, you can't use me. Look at this, God. I'm a failure. I'm no good. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too skinny. I'm too fat. I'm too tall. I'm too short. You name it. We got it. And God says, that doesn't matter. I can change that. Oh, no, God, you sit in the box. If there's anything you heard today, God wants them surrendering today. He wants you to ask God for forgiveness of being stubborn. And always saying, but I can't do this, I can't do that. No, you can't, but God can. God today is looking for men and women here that would simply say, Father God, I declare bankruptcy today. I'm yours. Body, soul, and spirit. Use me today in whatever capacity you want. I know what God's going to do with you. I have not the foggiest idea. But I know that God's a plan for you. Here's how we're going to do the invitation today. On this side here, this is our prayer altar. If you just want to go over there and talk to God, you go over there and kneel down. No one's going to disturb you, talk to you, or do anything. That's where you go and pray. If you want to talk to one of our elders and deacons up here, you come up here and just tell them, this is what God's been speaking to me today. This is what He wants me to do. Well, I want to surrender today. They will anoint you with oil. But don't leave here today as this, well, you know, I don't want to go forward today. It takes too long time. You know, I got a roast in the oven at home. I want to do this and that. This is a time when God says, your moment of destiny. This is your moment of destiny. I'm backing off, and the Holy Spirit is standing in there between you and Him. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I pray for these men and women here today. Some of them, Father God, you have called to preach. Some of them you have called into the missions. Some of them, Father God, you have called to be businessmen of different kinds and do certain things. Father, I pray that today the last resistance will be gone. And they will be able to say, Father God, not my will but yours. I also pray, Father God, for those listening by audio. If it may be a CD or cassette or via the internet, that wherever this message is heard, Father God, the Holy Spirit will speak to them now and call men and women from different nations, for different parts of this nation, into service when, Father God, they are liberated and they can say, my God, forgive me that I made you so little. Let me bow to my knees now and say that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the Creator. You are God Almighty. And I'm not going to be God Almighty in my life. Take me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. Use me. Mold me. And do with me what you want. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there. You might have some questions regarding Christianity and what makes a person a Christian. How do you get right with God? And how do you know that when you die you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to say will help you in making the most important decision of your life. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now, you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone, including you, has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Here's the good news. God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you could have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you're a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or even earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and know that you're a sinner, realize that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask Him to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God, now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." You see, if you call out to God and confess your sins to Him, He will forgive you. Remember, what Jesus has done in the past, He will do in the future. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. What He has done for one person, He will do for another. God doesn't favor anybody over you, nor will He look down upon you because of what you have done in your life. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. If you've been listening to me and feel that God is calling you, repent of your sins and call out to Jesus. You might not ever get another chance. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today. A decision that will affect you for eternity. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. If you realize that you cannot measure up to God's perfect standard, and that you have sin in your life, and that you want your sins to be forgiven, why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner, and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me my sins. I turn from my sins now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thus you are saved not because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It does not have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and your understanding of the Bible. Find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and to support you. Be sure that they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Also, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with someone else. Please contact us and share the good news. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Christ. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled Part 1, The Apostle Paul, in the series Teachings from the Book of Acts. It is available on CD or cassette, and when ordering, ask for CD or cassette number RLJ1035, entitled Part 1, The Apostle Paul. Again, that is CD or cassette number RLJ1035, entitled Part 1, The Apostle Paul. To learn more about Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, we invite you to visit us on the web at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. A copy of today's message can also be obtained by writing to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 41001, Sacramento, California 95841. That's Post Office Box 41001, Sacramento, California 95841. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. If you live outside the United States, call us at 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.